Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids and on WFHR. Your host and program director, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, James. I still got to stop thinking good morning, James.
It was right there.
On the tip of my tongue.
I had to do the same thing. It's even weird, like the sun in here is different in the afternoon. So you got to kind of plan for that a little bit. That's interesting. And I feel like our sound is a little interesting, too. It's going to be an interesting hour. It's going to be fun. The phone lines are wide open, everybody. 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the sports conversation. If you are thinking or feeling anything in sports, feel free to call up and join us with it. We have never had a better reason to fight for having this show every day, Randy, than the past week. Oh. Let's see what's happened in the sports world since the last week, Randy. I don't know. The PGA and LIV joined forces. That whole happened. Lionel Messi is in the States. He's going to be playing soccer in Miami. We've got the NBA playoffs going on, the NHL playoffs going on. I don't even know where to begin, man. I mean, even last night, you had I wanted to say his name and get it right here. Let's see. Adam Hadwin. Who got knocked over or whatever during the PGA like celebration, that whole thing that happened, or Nolan Jones of the Rockies clobbering I think the biggest home run of the season last night. I don't even know where to begin. There's so much going on. We got to do this every day, brother. We got to get together every day.
Well, you know, if we're in Canada, all we would be talking about is the PGA right now because, what, for the first time in 69 years, a Canadian won the PGA, Nick Taylor, with a 72-foot putt on the fourth playoff hole.
Yeah, I know this ain't my sport, but that just doesn't happen every Sunday.
That's not a tap-in, let me tell you. And then, of course, our own Steve Stricker wins the American Family Insurance Seniors Tour, so... You know, they had the celebrity pro-am going on there. I think it was on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a nice tournament from what I heard.
Yeah, and I think it was Zach Johnson paired up with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And Andy North was with Michael Phelps, and I think that was 6-under to 4-under. So that's always kind of a fun little thing. We're talking with a few people about that this morning. And I know a couple of, you know, I was down there a couple of years ago, and other people have been down there recently, too. And it's just a fun event, you know, because you're walking along, and, I mean, you are basically as far apart as we are. That's how close they let you to the guys. And they're teeing off, or they're hitting shots from the fairway, and it's just it's a very close environment where you can really get the feel for the, and, you know, the seniors, they're a lot more loose, it seems, than the tour players, you know, because they're out here and they're just enjoying life, knowing that it's the over 50 bunch and having a lot of, and you can just see it, you know, it's just not that is as intense. Play hard, but just a kind of a different atmosphere.
And since we're talking about this, we're going to get to Rafters and Brewers. We'll touch on those. I want to certainly, if we have a little bit of time, I'd like to touch on some random facts about Nikola Jokic, actually, that I thought were pretty interesting. But before we get into Rafters and Brewers and all that, let's start with the PGA. Let's start with this huge, 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 gigantic thing that goes on with the PGA Tour and LIV Golf partnering up. First off, there was some breaking news today about that facing government scrutiny. And there's a lot of details to come with that. So that's an interesting wrinkle in this that's going to, you know, we'll probably talk about next week when we actually are able to be back and we can have a time to look at it. So one thing we can talk about, though, is this shocker. Again, to non-sports lovers out there, you don't get breaking news in the break of summer very often like this. Maybe some free agency stuff here and there and everything, but not something groundbreaking like this, let alone in a week's time getting a story like this and the Messi story are just gigantic. And I understand that soccer is not the number even four sport in this state, in this country and everything. You can miss me with that. It doesn't matter when we're talking about Lionel Messi. We're talking about the only person since Michael Jordan to touch on world fame. I'm pretty sure we all think that Aaron Rodgers is pretty big. He's one of the biggest names in sports. I guarantee you that there are people in third world countries that do not know who Aaron Rodgers is, no matter how hard he has tried to make sure that every person on the planet knows who he is.
Guarantee you, there's people in this country don't know.
Yeah, Aaron. Exactly. that is not happening with Lionel Messi.
Right.
That is that kind of fame. There's a different type of fame there. I always like to use the example of money when it comes to like Oprah. Oh, and we all think that Oprah is pretty darn rich. Oprah's got quite a bit of money. If Bill Gates woke up with Oprah's money, he'd jump out a window. Like, there's a huge difference of those things. There's a difference of Aaron Rodgers' fame and Lionel Messi fame. Him coming to play here in America right before a World Cup that North America is going to host, that is huge. And we'll have to touch on that at some point. But with the PGA combination here, you have something. I heard Tony Kornheiser touch on this and touched on the AFL and NFL joining, you know, and I didn't mind the comp, and that's something we do in sports. Our brains go to comps, comparisons right away. But there is no comp to this. This is different. This is understanding how the sausage is made. Back in the day, we didn't know what was going on with the AFL and the NFL, how they got their money, different inner workings. And to be honest, we didn't really care too much. We didn't ask those questions. Those questions are being asked now. The reporting's being done now. So whether you want it or not, whether you don't want politics in your sports or any of these things, it's there. It's not going anywhere. And you have the head of the PGA, to me, looking like the biggest hypocrite in the history of sports. Not in golf, not in any other, not just this year. I mean, literally in the history of sports. You can say what you want about Shoeless Joe Jackson taking the money and everything during the scandal and stuff. He also hit over 300. He didn't tell everybody, hey, guess what? I would never take money. I'm not going to do that. And then took the money. Like, it was just a given, of course, that he wouldn't do that. There's nothing. There's no comp to what this guy just did. He spent every waking moment he could in front of a microphone telling you about blood money, telling you about the Saudi money, hate on this, hate on live, blah, blah, blah. And the next time we see him, he's sitting right next to him. I cannot imagine what you must feel like to be Rory McIlroy when you have put your reputation, your career on the line. You can't tell me that all this stuff is going on and he misses a tournament and he misses a cut here and he's getting fined $30 million here or whatever, $3 million or whatever it is here, and that doesn't all come into play. When he's been pushed in front to be, hey, you're the face of the PGA now. Hey, you're the face of this. You please do right by us. He does all that, and then this happens. Something that I learned during this whole experience, I always thought that the head of the PGA, the commissioner of the PGA, if you will, was similar to the NBA, NFL, where it's the owners that he's running. So for me, that means, okay, the corporate sponsors and the PGA entity itself. Oh, no. His bosses are Rory McIlroy, are Tiger Woods, are the people on the tournament. So he didn't go to his bosses with this. They found out when we found out. How does this guy keep his job? How is he still on June 12th, 2023 at 3:13 on the clock? How does that guy still have his job? I'm just going to refresh my ESPN there real quick. Yep, still got his job. Like, how does that happen? And I want that gig. Like, how can I get that job? How can I work that job? That sounds pretty dang nice. That seems like some pretty good job security right there. Because how does he still have his job? Money. It all comes down to that. And sports has always come to money and all that. And I'm not at all trying to talk about the purity of sports is gone now and our innocence is dead or something here. We're all adults here and everything. But there is a gigantic difference. And I mean a gigantic difference between this and that. Does America have blood on its hands for certain things? Yeah. Yeah, we're a country. Every country does. Every single country does. If you are still on the map, then you got blood on your hands. If your country ain't on the map anymore, then it probably didn't. This is the world that we live in. It's not about that. I'm not trying to compare, but there is no difference of the blatancy that the Saudi money has done and what LIV is made of, the blood money it is made of. You cannot ignore that. And it's now part of the PGA. It is now the biggest sponsor of the PGA. It's bigger than Nike. It's bigger than any set of club names that you can throw out there that I can't write it out at the tip of my tongue because I'm not good with golf. It's bigger than all that. So you, Randy, my brother, there's a handful of people I know that love this sport, that catch every round they can. How do you feel as a fan with this? How do you out there feel as a fan about this? I want to know how you feel about this. 424-2600. Does this affect you? Does this affect how you're going to watch the games or anything like that? Has anybody else wondered how Tiger Woods is feeling? Tiger Woods lost out on close to $1 billion. Tiger Woods could have taken the money and there'd have been no blood, no foul now. He lost out on quarter. I know that he's a rich man, but $1 billion is $1 billion.
Yeah, somebody told me it was like $800 million he was offered.
My God.
Close to $1 billion, right?
My God.
That was one of the comments that somebody made to me. They said, just think of all those people that kind of stood their ground, so to speak, and stayed on the PGA Tour and now didn't get that money. And now it's all back together again. That makes for an interesting scenario. The other thing that when you mentioned, with like the AFL, NFL, that was all within our own country, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we're talking, it's expanded to the world. And the DP Tour, I think, is involved in this as well. Yeah. So you got the three joining together. Kind of interesting, I think, when it first kind of broke, I think Jack Nicklaus made a statement too, which was kind of an interesting statement as well, because, I think just being a person who's been around as many years as Jack has been, he wants golf to succeed. But he was kind of pretty much, in favor of this combination again. So that was kind of an interesting comment that happened there. But, that was one of the first comments I heard. It's like, what about all these guys, the Rorys of the world, the Tigers that didn't take the money? Now you're back together again, and now they didn't have a say in it. Like you said, they all found out when we found out. And that was kind of really shocking, I think.
I think if you're a fan of golf and you can ignore these things, more power to you. And you're going to be really happy because the Saudis got a lot of money. And these golfers are going to be making a bigger bank now. We've already seen that over the last weekend, the last tournament and such. So you'll be fan. Maybe you'll be happy about that. And now you'll have all these golfers together again. And it seems like that's a little kumbaya moment for fans. I don't know about the golfers. You touched on that. I don't know how that's going to go over there.
What was interesting was also, I don't know, I watched maybe 5 minutes of a LIV tournament. And, the guys are wearing shorts. And, you just don't do that on the PGA Tour. And they got music layering just like they do on that 16th hole of the TPC in Phoenix when they play that one. But this is just a constant, and it's just, it's more of a, it just seems like they were out there playing friendly rounds of golf because basically the competition wasn't there. They're paid win or lose, right?
Right.
If you're competitive and you still want to win, but it's not like trying to win on the PGA Tour, right? So that's all going to play into it now as well. So,
right.
So where are they going to go with that? Who's going to say, are we going to do shorts? Are we going to do music? Is that all?
Can you imagine?
Who makes the decisions now?
Yeah, well, it, the way that is structured, I looked into this, the way it's structured, you still got the guy who made the announcement in charge. Everything still goes by him. He's got to still give the okay. However, it's a little like the manager, the coach of LeBron James right now. You can go ahead and say that you're the coach of LeBron James, but LeBron James coaches LeBron James. You can go ahead and say, well, it's my way or the highway, but LIV is the highway. They're the ones that making these calls now. You're just the puppet master. You're just the voice. That's all you are now. They're making the calls. It's going to, on paper, look like that. To your average fan, maybe it's going to look like that. But it is not going to be him talking at all. It is going to be the words of LIV, of their representatives and what they want. You're going to see a huge skew in marketing. And it isn't just the money that they're trying to whitewash here. It's their reputation. That's what this is about. They're spending money on PR. They're buying golf for PR, just like they did with bringing Ronaldo over to Saudi. They're trying to do it with soccer. They're trying to do it. They got a lot of money. You got to whitewash a lot of money here. And this is all speculation and stuff, of course. I'd throw that out there for the lawyers. But if you're an adult, you understand what's going on in the room, And when it comes to that part of it, here is another thing that really sticks with me about this, Randy. The AFL and the NFL merged because both saw the what was happening. Football's building. Only one of us can survive. It's Highlander rules. There can be only one Highlander. It's got to come down to that and everything. So that you figure, well, okay, NFL ends up winning this race. Good, good. More tip of the hat to you. There's a parallel universe where we're talking about the AFL, and that's the name of this league and everything. You know, it went that way. But both understood this was happening, and only one could survive. Liv was on, like, what, CW? Like, nobody's watching that. Right. Nobody was watching Liv. Like, it didn't matter how many golfers they pulled in. It didn't even matter if they had grabbed Tiger Woods. Nobody's watching them. They couldn't get a network sponsor. Nobody wanted to touch that product. The golfers, if I'm one of the golfers that went over to Liv, I'm laughing my tail off. I'm collecting money. Ain't anybody watching. There ain't no pressure. We're teams. Nobody knows the rules. I mean, and all I'm doing is going to the bank laughing, getting to play a kid's game for a living. Because, again, that's what we're all this is about, is talking about kids' games, you know? With the AFL-NFL merger, they had to make that call. PGA could have stuck their ground in here. I understand that they were hurting a bit from money. I understand that that's always the case for these things. But you can't tell me that they were going to go bankrupt or anything like that. And eventually, Liv would have had to have bent the knee. They would have had to have gone, you know what, we'll bend our rules here and here because nobody's watching our product. We're spending all this money. We got all these golfers. Let's work with you. That's what would have happened. This was a game of chicken. And the PGA, with having the big, big, souped up, nice old vehicle and everything, just balked.
And if that's the case, do you think the PGA would have?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would have eventually let them in for the money.
Okay,
I think, and I guess if you're sitting there listening to this, you're kind of like, well, it would have come to this anyway. Like, I don't think it would have had to come to it on where the PGA bent the knee, where that had to happen, where you look like fools if I'm a sales representative for the PGA right now and I got to go make house calls. Like, my God, I can't imagine how the egg on my face with this and everything.
And don't you think that maybe there were people out there who were saying, yep, this is eventually going to get, and they're going to merge just like the AFL-NFL did. But this quickly?
Right.
That's maybe the part that's the most shocking, that all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, here we are less than a year into it, and suddenly it's already happened. That really is what surprised me.
I'm curious to see. I'd love to come be able to flash forward and do this show in 3 years from now and see, is everything just hunky-dory? And we didn't, you know, it was just one of these things like, hey, it's still there, but we don't talk about it. We've come to normalize. We've gotten used to it now. Or is it changed and is it something completely different? I may not be a huge lover of golf, but I got so many people that I love that love golf. And I care about what it means economically. I know that I see the impact when they have these tournaments show up in your state and the economic impact it can have. Here in central Wisconsin, we've felt that.
Just think what's going to happen when the senior PGA U.S. Open is going to be here in Stevens Point here in just a couple of weeks.
I care about these things.
You can imagine, right? The impact it's going to have on this whole area.
I'm really curious how this is going to develop. I'm still curious how you're feeling out there. 424-2600. Don't be shy. Please feel free to call up and join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings. I want to wrap up on a positive note before we go to commercial break, since we're talking golf. And next week on Monday, we're going to be joined by our good friend Bob Atkinson. We'll talk about Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis Club golf outing that is going to be coming up.
Super.
They have their youth, their charity golf scramble that comes up Monday, August 14th. We're always happy when Bob joins us. He joins us once a year to talk about this. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a good conversation.
It's always fun having Bob in, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Bob will be with us again next Monday, June 19th, to talk a little bit about the Kiwanis charity golf scramble coming up in August. For right now, Randy and I will take a quick commercial break, come back with hopefully your phone calls and plenty more on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone. Hope you are having a great afternoon out there. It feels so good to be here with you in the afternoon.
It is fun, isn't it?
It's really, I really enjoying it. Randy and James here with Playmakers. And your show, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation for now. Randy's got some local coverage for us.
Well, the girls' state softball championships were held down in Madison this past Thursday through Saturday. And in Division 5, the Assumption Royals came up short in the semifinals, falling to Oakfield 7-5. The Royals had the tying runner on base in the bottom of the seventh, but couldn't push her across as their fine season draws to a close with a record of 19-3. So congratulations to the Royals.
Big thank you to the Royals.
Yeah. In the other semifinal, the Pacelli Cardinals plated 5 runs in the bottom of the seventh to rally past McDonald Catholic 8-7. And then they go on to the championship game, jump out to a 7-0 lead after 2 innings, and held off Oakfield and won the gold ball with a 9-6 victory. So congratulations to the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. In the semifinals of Division 4, 4th-seeded iScan and top-seeded Grantsburg both pounded out 12 hits, but the T-Birds upset the number one seed 5-3. Then in the other semifinal, Waterloo puts up 6 runs in the final 2 innings to upset Stratford 6-5. Then in the championship match, trailing 6-3 going into the 7th inning, iScan erupts for 7 runs to win it 10-6, and the T-Birds set a Division 4 record with 17 hits on their way to their first ever state championship. So congratulations to Iola Scandinavia. Yeah. In Division 3, it took Broadhead 8 innings to secure the crown, 1-0 over Mayville. Division 2 saw Freedom win their second straight championship as they blanked New London 8-0. And in a battle of unbeatens in Division 1, top-seeded Kaukauna wins their third consecutive championship with a 4-0 shutout of Superior. Mm-hmm. State tournament for high school baseball is now set, and it runs from today through Thursday at Fox City Stadium over in Appleton. Teams from our area in Division 1, Spash is the overall number one seed, taking on number 8, Hartford. Spash 26-1 on the season. What a great year they've had.
Yeah.
Hartford 18-12. It went right down to the wire. They played already today.
Yeah,
finished that game up before I came over here. They got a 6-5 victory. They'll now face number 5 seed Whitefish Bay, coming in with a record of 24-7. That game will be Wednesday at 2:30 over in Appleton. Mm. Division 2, no teams advanced to the sectional finals from our area. However, Division 3 saw a couple of area teams reach the sectional finals before falling. Amherst was blanked by Keel 2-0, as was Marathon by St. Croix Falls 4-0. And in Division 4, Pittsville lost to Oliva Strum 12-3 in the semis, while Pacelli stopped iScan 4-1, and Edgar flew past Florence 7-3. And then with a trip to Appleton on the line, Edgar slipped past Pacelli 2-1 in 8 innings. So Edgar is now seeded number 3, and they'll face number 2 Ithaca tomorrow at 9 a.m. In girls high school soccer, the top-seeded Assumption Royals were the only area team left in the Division 4 soccer sectionals this past week. And they lost a heartbreaker on a penalty kick to number 2 Lodi 1-0 in the sectional semis on Thursday. Lodi then picked up the sectional trophy with a 5-2 victory over Regis McDonald Catholic right here in Rapids on Saturday night. And they'll head down to Milwaukee for a semifinal on Friday. And in Division 2, number 2 Marshfield also lost in the semifinals on Thursday as they fell to top-seeded Sauk Prairie, also 1-0. So high school season wrapping up now with the baseball tournament this week, and that should kind of put an end to it until we talk about it again in August with football.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to give the parents a break, give the coaches a break, give the players a break for a little bit of time here. But boy, before you know it, we know that we're going to be driving past these schools and seeing the kids out there in the pads, getting the warm-ups in and everything for spring training and all that, and ready for football.
And you think about with the NFL and the OTAs all just coming up here, it's just nonstop football year round right now.
It really is.
It just leads into the Badgers. It'll lead, and that's going to be fun this year too. We kind of left that in the back burner for a while now, but boy, that's going to be one exciting season with all of those changes that have taken place down there.
There's a couple of things that to maybe warn the listeners out there. If you touch on it, we're going to spend probably the whole show on it. And Randy and I are just like a dams, just waiting to just unleash. And if you unleash us, we're going to probably talk a lot about it. I think that anything involving Wisconsin Badger football, I'm dying to talk about. You want to talk recruiting, you want to talk the coaching, the schedule, like I'm dying to talk about that. And certainly with the Blackhawks and Connor Bedard. So I've any opportunity to talk a little bit of that, we're itching to be able to do. We're also, of course, always looking for any opportunity to talk about Rafter baseball.
Oh, right.
And as we're wrapping up this kind of focus on the local end of things, with Rafter's nice weekend, of events. But before we get into too much, Randy brought something up during our kind of timeout that I thought was really cool. And it's something I've been telling Seth, and Pam and I were joking about when Carl came up with and first started doing Meet Your Rafters. He noticed something that, like, those Thursdays, I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday they would join, he would join them every Thursday or something, every home Thursday, every home game Thursday. And if they won, there was a streak that would kind of get going there. We kind of took a little pride in that, that whenever the Rafters would join us and they win a game, you're like, ah, you know, hey, hey, see? Good luck, Charms. And especially with baseball, where it is, I will make the argument, the most superstitious of all the sports.
I agree.
Here we are, where the last time we were here with Playmakers, we were joined by some of our great friends at the Rafters, and that was a great fit. We had a lot of fun and everything. And up until last night, they had just kept winning.
Well, it's funny. They were, what, 2-5 when they came in, and they said, oh, well, maybe we can start turning this thing around tonight. Not only did they turn around that night, they turned around the next 6 days in a row, six-game winning streak, jumped into first place in the Great Lakes Conference, and then fell last night, so now they're one game back. But they had a six-game winning streak, so we need those guys back in here before this turns around again.
Yeah, I was going to say, to all the fans of the Rafters, you're welcome.
Yeah.
We
do accept cash.
Yeah. We had nothing. It was so nice to see these guys. I felt so good for this, certainly for the community, the fan base. These players, though, we get to know them. We get to care about them and everything. It's tough losing. It's rough. To see where they are now, literally a week later, I'm so happy for those players, for those coaching staffs, and certainly, obviously, our fan base and all that. That's wonderful. It's really cool to see. We're very happy for that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, too, how, you know, the expectations, you know, from 1 year to the next. Yeah. You know, especially at this level, because you have such change, right? So many new faces, new parts, and people still coming in, right? They were talking about that last week, and you got to put it all together and try to build that chemistry. And how they've done it so quickly to go from 2-5 now to that six-game winning streak. They're 8-5 now, 8-6.
The most consistent thing we have is coaching.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it starts, right there. I had no doubt that those errors were going to go down. And as soon as you take those errors out of the equation, then it's talent-based. Then all of a sudden, it's what you got. And I like what we got. I will take our team. I will take our team against most anybody in this division, and certainly almost anybody in the Northwoods League, especially when you talk about our coaching and our team there with that. These guys are gonna work with these kids, and you touched on the chemistry part of it. The chemistry don't happen overnight. With a sport like with all sports, but with a level like this of this sport, the only way to build that chemistry is in real time. You've got to learn it on the fly. You know this better than most, and so do I, Randy, when it comes to what we do for a living. You can train in radio. You can work in radio for decades, for years, you know, 3-4 years, go to school, do all those things. But you really don't know until you turn that mic on and all of a sudden a play is happening in front of you and you've got to call it. And it's all on you. And you know, just similar things with other things we do in this sport, in this game.
I can remember one time one of our morning personalities who was just awesome at what he did, right? He's going to come along and do color with me in a football game. I'm like, this is going to be so great because he's just so easy to listen to and talk to and so smooth. We got to that football game, and I don't know if he said 10 words the whole game. I just, you know, the first time I said something to him to, you know, to have a conversation pregame, and he just did not respond, I literally was in shock.
Yeah, that's rough.
I'm like, this is going to be a long 3 hours. So you just never know.
No. I, like many people out there, have long called video games where I'm the play-by-play and I'm the announcer for my Madden or my Blades of Steel games or something like that. And like a lot of people admire and have a bit of a, well, I wonder what if I could do that or I think I could do that or whatever feelings. And getting to just call a couple of games with you and Mike and Dave, I know the months it would take me to be able to do that job, the years it would take me to feel comfortable at that job. I'm not even saying where I'd be good at it yet. I mean, we may be talking another 10 years before we're good at it. I'm just saying that I'd be able to do it with a comfortable level. I admire it so much, and I think it's such a credit to the craft when we have people like yourself be able to do it and have a stretch like you've had here with WFHR. And also gives me an opportunity to send a shout-out to Kevin and Joey. In that week's time, it isn't just the bats and everything else that's warmed up. Those two are getting more and more comfortable at the gig, getting better and better at the job. Be sure to catch their work. While you're catching, of course, some great Rafter baseball on TV, you can catch Cav, and he's doing a wonderful job there. And right here at WFHR, Joey just growing and getting better and better every day. It's kind of fun to not only get to hear these games called, but as the sub story, these kids and them growing at the craft as well. Rafter baseball back on your radio dial tonight. Now, Rafters lost last night. We ain't going to talk about that. Mount up. And that's why you have a split in the series with your heated rival in the Wausau Woodchucks and all that and everything. But I, if you don't mind, before we go to commercial break, our final one of the hour, I did want to touch on this. So Saturday night, a weird night, a weird turn of events. The rain is looking like it might shut the game down.
Right.
And instead, you know, you got to play these games. There's a lot of schedule that is, and forget, not even just the fans not wanting to let them down or people making plans and letting them down, any of that. The money part of this, you only have these kids for so long. So every game that has to get pushed back, you don't know what one of those kids had to go back to school.
And there's very few days off in this entire schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe three.
So you got to try so hard to get these games on. They get the game a late, late start for that game.
And 8:45 or something crazy.
Yeah, it was eight, yeah, it's exactly it. It was 8:45. They opened the gates at 8. Now, I mentioned to the audience a couple of times that my friend Laura, she lives right next near the area, right near the neighborhood. So I'm over at Laura's Saturday night, and I'm wondering how this is going to go and stuff. And I'm keeping an eye on Twitter, keeping eye on their social media, which the Rafters do a great job of keeping their fans up to date on. And I encourage you, if you're ever wondering, hey, what's going to go on Saturday night, go to their Twitter, go to their Facebook pages. They do a nice job of keeping up on that stuff. I'm listening, and I, oh, the game's going. Cool. That's great. Keeping up. I'm on her porch in the back, and I know Winterfield like the back of my hand. I went to school there. I played a lot of my baseball games there. I'm looking over there, and I know where the pitcher's mound is. And Randy, I've got for me to almost like the roundabout, the distance, and I can see the pitching mound. And so it's all I can see, but I can see the pitcher. I can't see anything else, but I can see the pitcher, and it's so late at night, it's so quiet, that I can hear the crack of the bat when the batter makes contact, and I've got the radio going, and it's a half a second behind, but it's right there. So it was just one of the cooler baseball experiences I've had, where I'm out there all night, basically, while we're listening for that game to go, and then for it to end the way it did in a walk-off. Like, so cool. So yeah. Cool for the fans. So great. Big, big shout out, not only to everybody that made that happen and the Rafters organization, the fans that showed up. I was so worried for those players. Like, I hope there's at least, you know, a couple, you know, 30, 40 people out there or something I'm hoping for or whatever. I heard a nice, nice crowd over there. I don't know what the actual attendance numbers were, but I know it was a good size.
We had some friends who had the rat trap for that night. I'm like, oh, that's going to be so disappointing mm-hmm. if they're not able to use it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Get all that set up, and people were waiting to see how that was going to turn out. And they were talking about, will it be played or not? And thankfully it was. Reminds me of one other time we were there, and my grandkids were pretty young, and we took them to a game, and it was a rain delay. And, you know, are they going to play or not? So we waited for about an hour, maybe a little longer. And finally they decided they weren't going to play the game. But instead, what they did was have, like, just a little, with the Rafters, a home run derby.
Oh, cool.
How fun was that? Because all of grandkids plus other former students
cool?
go behind the fence.
What a great idea.
They come back with, like, five baseballs. You know, they say, well, we had 10, but we were giving them to other kids, too.
That's awesome.
That was a fun moment.
Rafters got a nice, fun week ahead, of course, of Rafter baseball, because, like you said, Randy, they don't have many days off here.
Right.
Before I touch on that, I just real quickly want to remind the audience, this Thursday, real special night at the ballpark, the United We Can event is going on, the Southwood County Hunger Coalition United We Can Food Sculpture Competition, sponsored by our great friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Fans are encouraged to bring food donations to the ballpark that night, and will even be entered to win a Rafter prize pack there. That's pretty cool. Come and see the sculptures, take in those great things, enjoy your position in this, because I, unlike you out there, have to judge these sculptures.
Ooh.
And that is one of the toughest things I've ever had to do in my life. It's not that serious, but it is a little tough to be able to decide which one. They're all great.
Yeah, right.
I'm terrible at judging, Randy. I've realized this about myself, and doing this about 5 years now, maybe even six, I've realized I am terrible at making decisions when it comes to, like, who's better than another. I never want to do that. I never want to be a part of any of that. I'm bad at it. I love being a part of this because it's such a wonderful community event. And every year I'm blown away by this community and how much food you all bring to this event and how much you care about strangers. It is strangers helping strangers. It is people helping people with one of the biggest issues in our world, in hunger.
And no, if they don't have a title for it already, I think we should make one up right now. We should call it Yes, You Can.
Yeah. It's a great name. It's a great name.
I love it.
Come on down for United Weekend. This is a wonderful event. You can find out more by going to uswswac.org. That is United Way's website, uswswac.org. And, of course, get your tickets for Rafter Baseball at northwoodsleague.com. If you can't make it to the ballpark, no worries. We got you covered. Every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter Baseball, right where it belongs, right here at WFHR. Rafter Baseball back on the radio dial tonight as the Rafters are up in Lakeshore to take on the Chinooks.
Next two nights, I believe, yes.
Yes. Pre-game, and same time for both nights. Our pre-game will start about 6:20 for that. Join Joey and the boys of summer for it. It's going to be a fun game. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll take you right to the top of the hour with Playmakers at WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR. Big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the hour. Thank you for doing that, everybody. Phone lines are wide open, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. We'd love to talk with you. Anything you got on that sports mind of yours, bring it to us. We want to talk to you. Randy, I think that there is a lot to talk about with the NBA Finals. And certainly to talk about with two-time MVP Nikola Jokic, who is unlike any other player we've ever seen in the NBA.
Yeah, the Joker's pretty special.
I've heard the comparisons of he is everything of Magic and Bird, that he is the shooter that Bird was, the passer that Magic is, in a seven-foot package that doesn't necessarily look the most exciting when it's playing. I find it exciting because I love the game of basketball. One of the things I love about the women's game or the WNBA is the fundamental part of it and getting to see that so much more in the highlight. Certainly plenty of other things I love about the game and watching those individual leagues and stuff. But I honestly feel like the male game has been surpassed by the women's game when it comes to the fundamentals, when it comes to if you like passing, if you like dribbling, if you like good shooting and all these things. I don't think it's even close, especially in college basketball. Women's game has just completely changed that. And we saw it with the ratings and everything last year. I think that had played a part of it, that people want to watch actual good basketball, not just some kids that can give you a dunk every once in a while and a bunch of turnovers, you know? But with Jokic, the other thing that we've never seen with this guy before is, okay, we're used to legendary, great, amazing player, change of the game. We just had it with LeBron James. You know, so we're kind of used to that in basketball. What we're not used to is that guy, all of those things, kind of imagine this, Michael Jordan, all the things you know and love and enjoyed and have been entertained by Michael Jordan, but he looks like Bill Murray. It would blow your mind. Right. Would, like, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like we've seen Hakeem. We've seen Yao Ming. We've seen some Shaquille. We've seen these gigantic centers. Tim Duncan, the fundamental was his nickname. I mean, we've seen these big guys before. We've seen these guys be able to step out and start getting to the three-point line. We've all kind of gotten used to that and everything. What I don't think we've ever seen before is a guy doing all this without jumping. he's not even rushing down the court necessarily. Yes, he's moving, but he doesn't look like it. I know he's running, but he's not moving like when Michael or Dominique or somebody else cut the lane. Giannis looks like a deer the way he cuts a lane. Two steps and he's at the hoop. Jokic is doing all these same things, but it doesn't look like it. The presentation isn't the same.
You know, it's interesting. If you think about, you named a lot of awesome players from the past, but if you think about people who stand out as being unique,
mm-hmm.
1% jumped into my head was Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
You know, with that
yeah.
sky hook?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, nobody's ever been able to duplicate that. That was unique. The thing about Jokic is that, you know, of course, we don't see a lot of Denver games
where we are.
So when we see him first showing up here in the playoffs, the little I've seen him, I'm just impressed with the fact that, because it seems like the NBA, and one of the commentators made this statement that, you know, it's not much of a big man inside game anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just because of all the banging and pounding that goes on in there. It's more, and you see teams come down and a guy, it's almost like an NBA All-Star game all the time. They just come down and they shoot threes. Where with him, he can glide to the basket, and he is so soft.
Mm-hmm.
that's what stands out about him. He just takes that and he just kind of flips it a little bit, and it's rarely does he miss that little flip shot. And on the other hand, when they do try to double team him, he does find those open people no matter where they are. So I've been very impressed with seeing him during this playoff run.
We hear more about it more with NBA players. Maybe because they do a little more interviews, I don't know. But as a kid reading an SI about Hakeem, who was just one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life, let alone basketball players. And I believe that they just got done winning the first of their two titles there. And in the interview, he's talking about how he's spending his summer working on his short game because it just wasn't where it should be. His stats weren't where they should be in these things. And I'm like, my God, this guy, like that's who I want to. I want to be like that. I want to always be looking for ways to better my game, always ways to get improve. And even when I am feeling at my greatest, not letting that get to me, to get me too big-headed, and I can always get better. I really took a lot from that.
And I think you mentioned that last year about this time with Giannis.
Exactly.
How he was going to work on his mid-range jumper. And you made the comment, you said, boy, if he ever gets that mid-range jumper down, hits those free throws more consistently, and then can step outside the three, he'll be unstoppable. And he's darn near unstoppable the way it is.
With Jokic, it wasn't any end aspect of his game. It was his endurance.
Yeah.
He would just be worn down in his energy. And it wouldn't be so much injuries as it would be. He just didn't have the energy that he did. He's got it now.
You see what he's been doing to, you know, build up that endurance and things? They had a little special on him doing that. I saw just 5 minutes of it. And he's just like, that way I don't wear down in the game. And you see him, you know, he just doesn't look like he's ever, you know, stressed at all. That he's really gotten himself into top-notch condition.
As a kid, I'm enjoying and loving watching Michael Jordan, but I'm beyond all get-out frustrated because these Pistons just keep beating us and beating us. And I mean, and not just by on the scoreboard, but physically, literally beating us. Like, you know, they're whooping our players.
The Bill bad boys, right?
Yeah. Bill Laimbeer's, you know, these guys do not understand. Go watch 80s basketball. Go watch 80s basketball. Then come back to me and tell me about the game's tougher now or something like that. They miss me with that. They're clotheslining guys. I mean, come on. And you had the faces of the league doing it. You had Larry Bird doing it and things like that.
It's like watching old NFL films.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
But what happens, the Bulls lose. The last time I see them, they lose to Isaiah and the Pistons. The next time I see them, Michael Jordan looks like he's starring in an action movie. He's just buff. He's just all, you know, and built. And he's put on 15 pounds. And all of a sudden, oh, so that's what Michael did in the offseason. Mm. His mid-game didn't need work. This didn't need work. That needed work. He got in the gym. Jokic doing this, the things with Hakeem, all this stuff, like Giannis doing it and winning a championship, and then that summer still working to try to better his game. I think it's another great example of where sports can be such a good inspiration to us in our everyday life. We can do the same thing. And no matter what you're doing out there, you can do the same thing. Well, I'm doing really good. This is all good. But maybe this could be tweaked a little bit. And I could tinker with this and be better at this. Whether it's your job or it's your personal life or whatever it is, I love when sports can be an inspiration like that.
Isn't that funny? You think back to the 60s Packers of the dynasty there. Those guys had second jobs because the money wasn't like it is now. And they went to training camp to get in shape. Mm. Right? And now that's just year-round where they've got those trainers. I mean, even the other thing with, you know, golf, they said back in the day, you know, you didn't want to get too powerful or anything. Mm-hmm. Well, now those guys are, my goodness, DeChambeau, right? He is just really built himself up physically as well. So all sports now, you know, with these trainers and everything, it's just a completely different level than it was 40, 50 years ago.
So I think that with some fans of the NBA, not seeing the superstar in the game doing the high-flying dunks and slamming and stuff, how do we make him a little more interesting? I mean, maybe you need to know a little bit more about him. You know, I think most people understand he's an Eastern European. He's those things. European, I should say. But did you know that Jokic wears his wedding ring around his shoe?
Hmm.
He wants to keep his wife with him the whole time.
That's cool.
And so his whole career, he's kept his wedding ring on a string around his shoe. I, as a foolish romantic, love this. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was quite interesting. There is a parallel universe. Well, we don't have Jokic, but he is in the horse world.
He is doing that, where he, because he not only loves horses, but he's really good at that stuff. The Esquire, what do you call it? Esquirian, horse tournaments and stuff. Where you're doing that. I don't think it's so much about like a Kentucky Derby. I don't mean like that. I mean more of the jumping and
the equestrian.
Thank you, Randy. That kind of thing. He'd been doing that. He loved horses so much, and he was really, really good at it. I mean, imagine those poor horses. I think he almost did it because he loves horses so much. He didn't want to do that to the horses. So he just went, I'll crush human beings.
Right.
I'll do that instead. I'll just crush human beings instead of hurting these poor horses. That is pretty cool. He actually told Slam, I just fell in love with horses and their beauty and elegance. It was like a hobby for me. I didn't get serious with it, and I wasn't taking basketball serious either. I was in between both. And this is when he was a preteen and everything. Mm-hmm. So it could have went that way.
Yeah.
He found out about the NBA through YouTube, basically. His only window was YouTube. So he sees Jordan, he sees Kobe, he sees all these things. And thanks to that, we get one of the most exciting players we've ever seen.
That takes us back to about 50 minutes ago where you brought that up about people knowing Aaron Rodgers around the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't know these famous American basketball players just like they wouldn't know Aaron Rodgers, right?
Right, right.
Messi, they would know.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. It's just kind of interesting. And I encourage you to, when it comes to your the guys that are famous, these guys that you're interested in, look into them a little bit more. I think it's worth it. Nowadays, we're finding out whether we want to or not about our heroes. So I say do the homework yourself. It's kind of interesting.
So Denver has only lost one playoff home game. That was to the Heat. Tonight, they can wrap up the championship. You think they do?
Yes. I'm banking on it so much so that my best friend is, I got to teach tonight. I wrap it up, and I believe because it's a late start, I should be able to catch the third and fourth quarter. So Chris is coming by, and the whole reason he is because we think that Denver's going to win tonight. We could see them hoisting the trophy and all that. And I'm not going to say I'm a big Denver fan or anything.
No.
I'm just a fan of the game, mm-hmm. and I'm a huge fan of seeing a franchise win their first title. I don't care what sport it is. I think that's cool to see.
And I'm a huge fan of Game 7, so
yeah,
I just love to extend it a couple more games.
Is that do you have Miami tonight?
No.
I like that.
But it wouldn't bother me if they lost.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they won. Miami, every time you go ahead and count Jimmy Butler out right now and see what happens. Like, he hasn't had his legs the last, I think, almost 10 games now, but just when you think he's done, he shows up and gives you a 50-point game or something like that that we never saw coming.
Packers won't lose to the Lions the last game.
Right? Yeah.
And then, of course, the NHL. Oh, what a finish the other night, huh?
My goodness, what a game.
My goodness. Those last 17 seconds got a penalty. They already had an empty net, so they were doing 6-on-5. Then it went to 6-on-4 for the last 17 seconds. And those two shots, how the goalie was able to get that leg out there and then just keep it so strong. They were just trying to shove that puck through his leg, and they'd shoved it twice, and it just didn't go, and horn sounded, and now it's Vegas with a chance to wrap that thing up tomorrow night.
Another franchise either franchise will get their first title, which is kind of cool. And I was pulling for Florida in this. Vegas is so good. They got so much talent. That fourth line could start on most teams. The NHL's got to figure out this cap issue. Because I understand they have it away so that they don't have dominant teams like they did with the Penguins and things like that at one point. But all these teams are doing is just finding ways to advert the cap and have these huge great players that are injured all year, because that happens all the time in hockey, and just stash them. And all of a sudden, the playoffs, look who's showing up on the fourth line, an all-star, like out of nowhere, you know? They got to figure that out. But regardless, it has been a really fun playoffs, the whole NHL playoffs. I think most of us had chalk with that. The fact that it's not the Bruins in the cup is still, like, shocking to me.
You know, that was the other point that was going to be made, was that the Panthers were down to the Bruins 3-1 against the team that was, like, the all-time greatest team with the record-wise. And so it's like, well, they've come back before, you never know. But I think I heard an interview with one of the Vegas players, and maybe it was after heading into the finals here. And he said, you know, we've only been around as a team, 3 years now? And he said, I think I'd hate us too.
I like that self-awareness of that. That's good. The NBA Finals again could be wrapping up tonight. We will find out. It'll be on ABC. Pre-game starts, I believe, at 7:30 for that, if you're interested. But most of you, I imagine, are going to be paying attention to either the Brewers or the Rafters. I wanted to look at the Brewers. Brewers are off tonight.
I think they're in Minnesota for a couple and then back home for the Bucks.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's in town then for three, maybe.
I believe so. And now all of a sudden that Pittsburgh series got a lot more interesting. And I mean, coming into the season, I don't think most of us would have that marked down on the calendar as, oh, that's going to be a really interesting series to pay attention to just because Pittsburgh hasn't been competitive and everything. Well, now with the two of them playing hot potato with the lead in the division. I think it's going to be a much more interesting series, and it's always interesting with Minnesota. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and of course, Pittsburgh, they've had some years like that. Not recently, but maybe in the last 10 years ago or so, where they play really well in the first half of the year, and then they just kind of fall apart in the second half.
Yeah.
But right now, they got that one-game lead on the Brewers. And St. Louis is struggling. What, they're 8 back right now? The only team they don't struggle against is the Brewers.
Yeah, just ain't like, that the way.
Just like... Didn't we say something last week about, oh, no, next weekend, here comes to town the A's. Oh, no, we'll probably get swept.
Wasn't going to bring it up.
So first we do the Rafters one way.
Yeah, right.
And then we curse the Brewers the other way.
Here's hoping for another good streak for your Brewers. Corbin Burns getting on the mound tomorrow. That's going to be, like hearing that.
We need him to turn it around, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, one more time, I did want to thank again everybody that was going to call up and everything today. We appreciate you. Spread the word about Playmakers, everybody. We're in a new time slot, 3 to 4. We want to show all of our great ownership that we belong here in the afternoons with you. In order to do that, we need your phone calls. Call up at 424-2600 and join us every week. We have a lot of fun with this. Next week, we'll have a pitch hitter for Randy. Randy will join us a little bit later in the summer when you get a chance to, of course.
He'll be back 2 weeks from now, hopefully.
We'll get people. Oh, good. And we'll get people ready for the high school season more and more. We'll certainly be talking with plenty of guests. As I mentioned, Bob Atkinson joining us next Monday. That is going to be a lot of fun to talk a little Kiwanis with Bob. Always look forward to that. And we'll be talking with Rafters and Rafter baseball. Rafter baseball back on your dial tonight. 6:20 the pregame as the Rafters take on the Lakeshore Chinooks. Going to be a fun game.
Going to be a fun on the road. So tune it in.
I want to see us get that road record up too.
Yeah,
you know, it's nice to make people fear you when you're coming to town.
It starts tonight.
Yes, it does. It got some nice players going into this matchup too. Randy, thank you so much for the local coverage. You do appreciate all that.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for everybody for joining us, and a gigantic, huge thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out and sponsoring Playmakers here at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.